Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's words to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again for you to go and get your Sunday school book and your Bible and study along with us today as we study our Sunday school lesson. Our lesson this morning is entitled, Call to Mission. Call to Mission. Taken out of Matthew chapter 10, the first 15 verses. And it reads like this, Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of the sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publicans, James, the son of Alphaeus and Lebbeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentile, and into any city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrap for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Lord, speak to our hearts today in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct me in all that I say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for its sake we do pray. Amen. This morning our lesson is entitled, Call to Missions. Call to Missions. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us are called to mission. I know sometimes people think that, that's just the preacher's job, or that's the reverend's job, or the pastor's job. But listen, all of us are called to mission, and that means all of us are called to do the Lord's work. Yeah, all of us are called. God didn't put you on this planet to just come on this planet and have a good time. No. That's why all of us are servants of God. You are called to serve God. You're called to do mission work. Yeah. And the most clearest example of mission work is in Matthew chapter 10 in our lesson today. Now look at this mission work. Jesus here, he went up in the mountain to pray. And after he had prayed, after Jesus had prayed, then he called his 12 disciples. This is following what he had just stated back up in chapter 9. In chapter 9, when you look at the text, the Bible says in chapter 9, beginning with verse number 35, how Jesus went about all of the cities, the villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so we see here that Jesus is going about healing, he's going about teaching, he's going about preaching, and as he's going, he sees more and more multitude of people. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And in his flesh, the work is too much for one person. So what Jesus says we need to do, we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth workers into the vineyard. And so that's the background to our lesson today. Jesus now, he done prayed. Mark's gospel talk about how he went up into the mountain and he prayed all night long. And after he had prayed all night long, then the Bible says he chose 12 disciples. And that's starting our lesson today. He picks out 12. Verse 1 said, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. In other words, Jesus gave them power to do what he had been doing. They were to imitate Jesus Christ. They was to carry on the same work. Notice the same thing that Jesus was doing back up here in Matthew 9:35. He gave them the same thing to do here in Matthew 10 verse 1. To heal all manner of sickness, to cast out unclean spirits and to heal all manner of diseases. The very thing that Jesus was doing, he now deputized 12 disciples and he sent them out on a mission. Because keep in mind, Jesus had been going from town to town, going from villages to villages, and now he's sending them to go from town to town, village to village, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And then notice now, the Bible gives us those 12 men. It lists those 12 men. It starts here, verse number 2 says, and the names of the 12 apostles. Now notice, it didn't say the name of the 12 disciples. Because see, a disciple is a student. A disciple is a learner. There's a difference between an apostle and a disciple. A disciple is someone who's studying about Jesus Christ. They're learning about Jesus Christ. But an apostle, that word apostle means sent one. It's somebody that Jesus not only have been teaching. They're not just a disciple, but they're also now a one that has been sent by Jesus Christ. They've been sent out. And so, in other words, they're moving now from just a student level. Let me put it this way. They're moving now from just learning about Jesus to now applying what they have learned from Jesus Christ. So now they are following Jesus' work. They are learning. They are called to imitate. That's the word I was looking for. They are imitating Jesus' work now. And so we have the names. We have the names. We have Simon, whose name is Peter, Andrew, his brother. We got James, the son of Zebedee's, and John, his brother. Now, whenever you read about the apostles being listed, the 12 listed, they normally is listed in the same order. They're normally listed in the same order. It may have one or two differences there, but for the most part, you're going to always have Peter at the top, then you're going to have Andrew, then James and John. Those four. As a matter of fact, there are four listings of the 12 in the Bible. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 2 through 4, which is in our lesson today. Then you'll find it in Mark chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Then you'll find it in Luke chapter 6, verse number 13 through 16. And then you'll find it in Acts chapter 1, verse number 13. But you won't see Judas Iscariot. You won't see his name mentioned there. But Peter is always, though, Peter is always at the top. His name is always at the top. And then it goes on, verse number 3, you have Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican. And then you got James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebius, whose surname is Thaddeus. And most of the time we know him by Thaddeus. And then Simon the Canaanite. Sometimes you'll read about Simon the Zealot. And so the Zealot, they was revolutionaries. They were the guys that wanted to overthrow Rome. See, Jesus had some tough characters with him, ladies and gentlemen. He had some tough characters with him. And as a matter of fact, out of all of these guys in the bunch, most Bible scholars said that Judas was the most qualified one. Judas Iscariot was the most qualified one. He probably was the most educated one. He probably was the most spiritual one. Nathaniel also. And let me bring that out to where you got Bartholomew. A lot of people believe that Bartholomew is really Nathaniel that you read about over in John chapter 1, verse number 45 through 51. I just wanted to bring that out. So you have Philip, Bartholomew, and Bartholomew is Nathaniel. And then Thomas and Matthew, the publican. But as I was saying, a lot of people feel that Judas Iscariot, he seemed to have it together spiritually, seemed to have it together socially. But you see, a lot of times it's the one that you think that got it together and you think it's going to be the best ends up being the worst. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I often find in the church that the people who come to the church who think they got it together, they are some of the biggest hell raisers there in the church. But those people who come there knowing that they don't have it together, knowing that they need what the church got to offer, then those people seem to be the best people, the best servants, the best workers in the church. And so we see these names. We see the names of these 12 apostles. And so Jesus now, he's going to send them on a mission to preach. He's going to send them on a mission to preach. Now, notice their field. Notice the mission field that he's going to send them on. He's going to send them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look at verse number 5 and 6. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentile, and into any city of Samaria. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, why come Jesus didn't send them to the Gentile, or send them to Samaria? Was Jesus discriminating? Is that what this is about? Jesus didn't want to save the Gentile, or he didn't want to save Samaritan people, people that was mixed breeded people? No, you know better than that. You know Jesus don't think like that. No, I believe, number one, just from a practical standpoint, when you are going out, this is your first time doing something, you need to start with something that's easy. Yeah, you don't start with the hard part first. You start with the easy part. So Jesus wanted them to start with people that you know. Start with people that you know. Go to some towns that we've already been in. Some towns we've already been in. Go to some towns that people look like you. Yeah, go to some town where folks look like you. That makes it a lot easier. Yeah, when people see people that look like them, then they don't have a lot of question mark of what do he want with me and stuff like that. Because you look like them. And so just from a practical standpoint, you always start with the people that you know. Yeah, just like when you look at Mark chapter 2, you see about when Matthew first got saved, Matthew went and got his friends. He went and got his other tax collector friends and the other sinful friends. He went and got them. So you start with the people that you know, and then later on you're going to try to witness to people that you don't know. So you need to go out and practice on people that you know. And then Once you get good on practicing on people that you know, then you take that to people that you don't know. And that's what he did. That's what Jesus is teaching them. Because see, later on, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, see, this was their first commission. But when he gave the Great Commission over in Matthew 28, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." All right. So at the end of Jesus' ministry, he deputized them to go into all nations. But right now, he says you need to start with home. Start at home. Before you go into all the nations, start with your nation. Start with Israel. And then see, later on, after Jesus died, and he went there, was getting ready to go to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, "And you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." And so the Bible says there's a time and there's a season for everything under heaven. And so right now, when they first getting started out, it was time for them to just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right. And so we move on a little bit further. And so we see that where the mission field is at, they was only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we see the mission field, but next look at the mission. Look at the mission. What was their mission? All right. First of all, their mission was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse number 7. "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so he's telling them to go and to preach. Now notice, John came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus came preaching. What did Jesus preach? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now what is the disciples to preach? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so all of them are preaching the same thing. Do you see the consistency? Do you see the consistency? And so they was first to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Next, they was to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Look at verse number 8. "Heal the sick, clean the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." And notice, they was to do the same thing that Jesus was doing. But notice, and they was not to get paid for it. Did you notice that? They was not to do it for money. Let me say that again. They was not to be doing this for money. They was not to be healing the sick and charging the leper. They was not to be charging people for casting demons out, raising the dead. No. See, they could have easily... See, this is the problem that we have today with a lot of the prosperity theologians and stuff. I used to wonder. Because when you see them on television, I used to wonder, how in the world people can set through that boring sermon? Because the average faith teacher can't really preach. He can't really preach. But he stay up there for an hour or an hour and a half trying to teach something. And man, I just get lost listening to him. But I figured it out. They'll stay up there and preach. And you know why nobody will leave? Because sooner or later, he's going to stop preaching, and then he's going to have a prayer line. And then that prayer line is where he's going to start his healing ministry and stuff. And so they'll stay there for 2 hours, 3 hours, in order to stay in that healing ministry, in order to see him work his healing ministry. Because they didn't so much come for the word, for the message to be changed and delivered in terms of from their sin, but they came to be delivered from various problems and ailments, body ailments and stuff. So it's not so much they was wanting the message, they was looking for a miracle. And then the thing about these faith healers know that, and as a result, they charge, ladies and gentlemen, for these miracles and stuff. I mean, they be sending around these big old buckets and stuff. And they just be, sometimes they send it around 2 and 3 times in the service. Either sometime what they do, they'll start, you know, God done told me somebody can give $1,000. Somebody can give $500. Somebody can give $100. Somebody can give $50. They work it all the way down till they get in your neighborhood with $5 and $1. Yeah. And they just milk the people dry. That ain't how Jesus did it. That ain't how Jesus did it. As a matter of fact, Jesus would shed a lot of that stuff down the day if Jesus came back here today. Matter of fact, that was one reason why Jesus, in his day, he whipped them people out the temple, those money changers. Don't you remember how Jesus took the card and made them like a little whip? And he whipped them out of the temple because they was in there charging people highway robbery when they would exchange that money. All right. And so, but Jesus told his disciples, freely you receive and freely you give. All right, so in other words, you didn't pay nothing from me when I gave this power to you. Yeah, you didn't have to pay for it. So when you go out there and heal folks, don't you be charging. Because that power don't belong to you. Listen, if God used me to heal somebody, then that wasn't none of me. That wasn't none of me. That was God. That was God working in me and working through me. I done prayed for a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of people done got healed from all kind of diseases, all kind of sicknesses and stuff. But it wasn't none of me. It wasn't none of me. People come up to me all the time and say, Pastor, that prayer worked. And say, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that wasn't none of me, ladies and gentlemen. That was the power of God working in and through me. It wasn't no, I ain't got no power in my hand, ladies and gentlemen, when I lay hands on people and pray for people. That's the power of God, ladies and gentlemen. That's the power of God. So I didn't get that power by paying for it. I didn't have to pay the Lord for it. And as a result, I shouldn't be charging nobody for it. That's what these disciples, they didn't pay for it. And so as a result, don't you charge for it. All right. Now, look what it, also, look at their method. Look at their method. They was to give it freely. And then they was not to be burdened down. Look at verse number 9 and 10. He said, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is it that's worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into the house, salute it. And so what he's telling them, travel light. Travel light. Don't take 2 coats. Don't take no 2 pair of shoes. Don't even take a walking cane. Travel light. Don't take a money purse. Travel light. Don't take a scrap of... In other words, a lit modern bag, that would be a lit bag that you take, scrap, miscellaneous thing, a lit miscellaneous purse. You got your money bag, but then you got a lit miscellaneous purse. He said, don't even take a lit miscellaneous purse. Don't even take that. Don't even take a walking stick. Travel light. Travel light. travel light. Yeah, because see, sometimes when you're out traveling, and let's say you take a rest and you lay stuff aside, then when you get up, a lot of times you forget and you start moving elsewhere, and then guess what? You realize, man, I left my purse, or I left my shoes, or I left my walking cane. Now, your mission done change. Your mission go from searching and seeking lost people to searching and seeking your money bag, or your scrap bag, or your walking cane. Now, you rather than going on to the next town, you going back to the town that you came from. Do you see the time? You're wasting time now. You're wasting time. As a result, you're going to miss out on some souls that you could have saved. All right. So, and Jesus knows that. So that's why he tell them, don't be taking all that. But also Jesus tells them that because he wants them to learn how to live by faith. He wants them to learn how to live by faith. That's what you got to do. You got to learn how to live by faith. And walk by faith, not by sight. Because, see, if you taking a money bag, you'll stay out on the mission field as long as you got money. But as soon as your money run out, you say, oops, y'all, we better get on back. I ain't got no more money. No. Jesus want to teach them to live by faith. He said, when you go into a town, find that person that is worthy. Over in the book of, I believe it's Luke, he says, find a man of peace. Find somebody that is receptive to your ministry, and when you find that person, that man of peace, that person that's worthy, stay with him. Now that first person that you meet that's worthy, that person may not have, you know, he may not have the biggest house or anything like that, and there may be some other folks that probably could have put you up, that probably had a bigger house and you know, was probably doing a whole lot better. But Jesus says, no, you stay with that man. It ain't about accommodation, trying to find the best accommodation in that town, because you ain't gonna be there that long anyway. Stay with the mission. Keep focusing on the mission. Don't try to get too comfortable. Yeah, see, the thing that can sidetrack a mission is when you start focusing on comfort. He said, no, focus, keep the mission focused on Christ. Keep the mission focused on Christ. So when you find a person that is receptive to the ministry of Jesus Christ, stay with that person. Stay with that person. And so, and then give him your peace. Give him your peace. Now, notice now, he goes on a little bit further. And he deals now with blessing and cursing on those that receive the ministry, bless it. Those that don't receive the ministry, curse it. Look at verse number 13 and 14. He says, if the house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, now hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. All right. In other words, he says, anybody that receive y'all, you bless them. You bless them. But if they don't receive you, then a curse abide upon them. A curse abide upon them. And he says in verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that particular city. And so keep in mind, God cursed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, why did God curse Sodom and Gomorrah? Is because basically the people had cursed themselves. See, we have a Bible covenant here that says, if you obey God, blessings will come. Yeah. But if you disobey God, curses will come. So you basically open your life up to curses. So it ain't so much that God curses you as you done curse yourself by disobeying the word of God. Same thing. When you receive the word of God, then you open your life up to blessings. Yeah, you open your life up to blessings. But if you reject the word of God, then you open your life up to more curses. You already got some curses on your life, but you're going to open your life up now to even some greater curses. That's why he says here, it's going to be better on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than it is for you if you reject the word of God. Now, why was it that if people didn't receive Jesus' disciples in Jesus' day, that it's going to be more tolerable to Sodom and Gomorrah when God raises up Sodom and Gomorrah in the end? He said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for those cities where those disciples went. Why is that? It's because they heard the word of God coming directly from men. Jesus had came down into the earth. And so this was Jesus, his ministry, not the ministry of angels. Yeah, in the Old Testament, when God sent the angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah was cursed because they didn't receive the message of the angels. But guess what now? We're going to be cursed because we didn't receive the message of Jesus Christ. Not the angels, but it's the message of Jesus Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to be blessed, then we need to open our lives up to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. And then you won't have to be worried on judgment day about the curses of Jesus Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, our job is to be on the mission today. Get on the mission. Go around doing good. Go around and bless some people today. Go around and bless them. Feed the homeless. Clothe the naked. Visit those in prison. Visit those that sick, ladies and gentlemen. Bring some healing to folks who are in need. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.